Praise God. It's good to be in God's house. It is good to be here among God's people. So thankful to see everyone here this morning. Amen. Thankful for the testimonies. Praise God. Amen. We're made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimonies. We must share them. We must let people know what God has done for us and what God is continuing to do in our lives. Our God is able, church, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to His marvelous power, His glory, His strength. He's got it all. We are needy. Amen. We're a needy people who need God today. What a joy it is and a privilege to be able to bring God's Word to you this morning. I'm thankful for that. I miss the pastor, of course. I really do. And I've been praying for him that God would keep him safe in all his traveling and the things in which he is, and the teachings and the sermons which he is committed to this week. I'm looking to God to do great things for our pastor. Amen. Looking for a great report when he comes back. I know that God, as he has told us, has opened an open door there in Mexico. And I know our pastor's walked right through it. Praise God. And I'm glad that the Lord is with him. I would like you this morning, if you would please, turn with me to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Here the Apostle Paul, I want to look at, gives us a lot of instruction in this little epistle. It's here in this book, he gives a thank you note to those believers who are in Philippi. Why? Because of their help in his hour of need. He was very needy. And they sent not once, but twice, some offerings to that apostle and to help him in his needs. But he sets occasion here to send them back a letter. And in the letter, he gives some instructions to them because they're needful on some for that of Christian unity that is so needful in the church today. Amen? Yes. We need Christian unity. We need to work together. We need to be in unity with not just with each other, but with God. Amen. As well, the apostle is going to deal with this church in Philippi because they are indeed at odds. There's some that are odds with each other there. And that's the way, you know, a lot of churches sometimes are people that just get at odds with one another. It happens in church. You can't help that. We're human, so, you know, we are human, right? And we get at odds with one another. So he sends them this letter to correct them and to bring them and to help them. Paul exhorts this church, and he's going to exhort them to stand fast. And I think that's important. Be of the same mind. Be of the same mind. To rejoice in the Lord always. Aren't we always to rejoice in Him? Praise God. To bring everything by prayer, the Word of God will tell us in supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known unto our God. Hallelujah. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this I want to share with us briefly with the Lord's help this morning, and I hope I don't get bogged down. So just bear with me. I don't want to get lost here. I want to kind of slow down just a little bit. Sometimes I get going too fast and I get too zealous. So Lord, help me this morning to just be at peace. Amen. He writes this epistle, and in these four chapters, it's an amazing thing in which he writes, because he writes about life's purpose. He writes about life's pattern. He writes about life's prize to be had. And he writes about life's power. Hallelujah. The life's power is in Christ. Amen. We don't have power in ourselves. We need the Lord to help us. He writes in chapter 1 and verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Amen. That's life's purpose in that chapter. In chapter 2, verse 5, This is life's pattern. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He writes in chapter 3, verse 14, life's prize. Hallelujah. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he writes in chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. This is life's power that we need. It is not in our abilities. It is not in our strengths. It is in His strength alone. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is my strength. He is my fortress today. He is my all in all that I need. I would love to preach all those chapters, but I want to this morning just stress, if I could, I want us to go to chapter 4 this morning. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, I want to deal with life's power we need. And that power is in Jesus Christ. Amen. And with the Lord's help, I want to share 5 different areas that we can gain this power to live the life of Christ that He wants us to live. To live in unity, to be able to fortify ourselves, to be able to purify ourselves, to be able to be satisfied through the power that is of Christ, and that Christ's power supplieth all our needs. Right. Woo! That's a lot, isn't it? To me, it's a lot. God has given us such wonderful words that we can look to this morning. Chapter 4 and verses 1 through 3. Notice it says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I like that. I like that. He calls them brethren, dearly beloved. And He encourages them to stand fast in the Lord. Why? Notice verse 2. He says, I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Woo! Glory. I like that. We need to have the power of unity. And the first thing that the Apostle Paul addresses to, here in the chapter 4, to the church, is that they need to come into unity to work with one another. There were some odds there. We have these two individuals, Euodias and Syntyche. They were at odds with one another. But the Apostle stresses to them and writes to them lovingly, look, you need to live in unity together. Have the same mind working together for God. Amen. If there is something that is between the two of you, get it right. Amen. Get right with it. Get over it. Amen. You know, isn't it terrible how so many Christians can carry their problems on and on and on. They can carry a grudge on and on and on. And all that does is bring disunity to the very body of Christ for the unity that God wants to work through His church. The devil wants to be the one who puts that disunity within us. Come on now. God is not an author of confusion. God is not the author of any confusion. So we need to make sure we live through the power of God. Amen. His power to stay in the unity. That means we need to seek God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, don't we? We need to stay before God on our knees. We need to pray often to God for our brothers and our sisters. You know, we wouldn't have disunity if we would stay on our knees for our brothers and our sisters. There wouldn't be a time for disunity. Say, well, I don't like that, bro. If you're down praying for them and loving them and seeking their welfare and their good in the body of Christ, there wouldn't be any schism. There wouldn't be any upsetness between brothers and sisters, would there? There'd be unity. We need to strive for that blessed unity in God's church. Secondly, there is the power that can fortify us. Hallelujah. I want us to look at this verses 4-7 here. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yeah. Woo! I want to look at this, the power that can fortify us. In verses 6-7, be careful for nothing. That's what he says. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right. Hallelujah. Be careful for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm repeating this over because I want it to stick with us. The Apostle Paul wants us to understand these things. He gives us the two rules in which he tells us in these two verses. The first is, be careful about nothing. Right. Be careful about nothing. The word careful here means to be pulled in different directions. The church can be easily pulled into different directions. The devil is seeking to destroy those whom he can. He is our adversary. He is the one who wants to destroy the church, destroy the unity. And here Paul tells us, be careful for nothing. Don't be pulled in different directions. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul is not talking here about a concern here. There are many concerns in the church that we have. I mean, we have prayer requests, obviously. We have concerns. He's not talking so much for the concerns that are going on, but about the anxiousness or the panic that can all of a sudden come upon you. Be careful about nothing. The Christian can become to a point in tribulation, a point in trials, where he panics. Oh, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do now. You know, and they just don't. They just have no control over themselves, and they're panicking over about the situation. They're being pulled in a direction where they need to be pulled toward God. They need to be pulled toward His power, toward kneeling in His presence, to seeking His will. But they're pulled to the anxiousness and the panic and the things that are going on right now among their life and in their situation, and they're becoming uncontrollable. That happens. And the Apostle Paul doesn't want that. He says, be careful for nothing. And Psalms 55 verse 22 says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Hallelujah. And He shall sustain thee. Problem is, we don't cast our burden upon the Lord. We cast it everywhere else but upon the Lord. We keep it to ourselves, unto ourselves. We get more and more panicky, more and more confused. But He says, cast your care upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Wow, what a God we serve. Our God's not going to let us be moved. He's not going to put us in a situation where we're panicking, we don't know what to do. Amen. Praise God, He has given us His mind. Hallelujah. And we know what to do if we will seek the Lord, if we will humble ourselves, if we will cast ourselves before Him, lay down our burdens upon Him. 1 Peter 5 verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting it upon Him. Quit care about nothing. Cast your care upon the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what the Word of God tells us in Peter. For He careth for you. God wants you to give your burdens to Him. He wants you to give your anxiousness, your anxieties, your fears, the things that are pulling you away from God. Give it to the Lord. Hallelujah. And our God shall sustain you. Our God shall suffer you not to be moved. Amen. Secondly, He says, be prayerful about everything. Amen. Furthermore, our prayers should be both a definite prayer and a devotional prayer. Amen. There are things we definitely pray about. Amen, in church. And there's those times of devotion when we get alone with God in our prayer closets and we're talking with God and we're praying and the mercies of God just come and flood in our soul and in our lives. These, I can only think of two areas over which the Christian is not to worry. One, things which he himself can change. Why do you worry about those things? If you're able to change it, then change it. You know, so many times, I'm worried about this. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, how am I going to make this payment? Or how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to do that? And God's enabled you to work. God's enabled you to take care of the situation. Take care of it. Don't worry about it. Don't fret over those things. You know, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, why do you worry so much what you're going to eat? What you're going to drink? How are you going to be fed? What clothing? Where are you going to get clothes to wear? The Gentiles worry about these things. Our Heavenly Father loves you. He knows you have needs. He's going to take care of your clothing, your food, your necessities. It's amazing to me. You know, we've got programs today out there in the world. You know, we got these programs. Well, you better call this organization to make sure you buy a bunch of food that's processed already and in packages, because you know the hard times are coming, food ain't gonna be here, and if you just store up these foods, you get them all ready, you can have a whole garage filled up with all kinds of food. My, just, you know, I'm reminded, just worry about everything, worry about this stuff, you know, just get your mind on this, get to worrying about what am I gonna eat, what am I gonna do. We can't live that way. I don't want to live that way. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. Amen. I don't have to worry about all that. So the things which we can change, change it. Don't worry over it. Secondly, those things which we cannot change. Now, with these things we cannot change in us, here is where supplication comes in. Here is where praying and putting supplication in your prayer and requesting of God to take care of the need. You have no power. It's beyond you. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own might. It's beyond your capability. You need God. That's when we pray with supplication, with all prayer. That's when we seek God. Not for a minute or two, but I mean for days and weeks and months, years. Amen. Right. Until God meets our needs. Hallelujah. The two results that come from this, we see in verse 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice that word he says in that verse. Shall keep. Keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This word is often used to describe someone or something which was carefully guarded. By that, possibly by the elite Roman soldiers of Caesar's palace, to keep charge of it. To watch over it. To keep it close by you. Remember the Apostle Paul when he went before Caesar? He was chained between soldiers. He was kept so he could not escape. Watched over him to keep him. Yeah. Thus we see that this peace, this wonderful peace, it's not this peace we all enjoy in Romans. If you would turn over to Romans just for a second, chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We all have this peace that God gives us through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we become justified before Him, when we become saved, we have peace, the peace of God. That peace has come to us. But the peace that I'm talking about is the peace that will take, that we will substitute our care for prayer. Understand me. We have many cares. Take that care and put it to prayer. Yeah. We must pray. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah, glory to God. Amen.
Then are we able to have that peace which passeth all understanding.
Right.
When care of things is turned to prayer, we will experience the peace of God that comes in our hearts. This peace guards, he says, our hearts, protecting us from those wrong feelings. Have you ever had bad feelings? Sure you have. If you're human, you've had them. But this peace of God will protect us from the feelings that our heart gives out. Because it's not our power, it's God working in us. And God will guard our hearts. He will guard, he says, our minds, protecting us from the wrong type of thinking. We must think rightly, church, if we are going to be able to live a powerful life in Christ. We need to think upon God and the things of God. Amen. We need to know God's Word. We need to read His Word. We need to study His Word over and over. How many of you have heard the saying, prayer changes things? Well, I've heard that a lot. You know, people say, well, prayer changes things. I've seen it on sign, prayer changes things. Well, that's not always true. Prayer does not always change things. But prayer does change us. Prayer will change us. Not necessarily the thing, but us. And that's what's important. That's what we need changed here, is us in prayer. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Whew. Are you with me still? He protects us against those matters. As I said earlier, we become distraught with, or we become panicky over. He protects us over these matters which are driving us sometimes. Christians are driven to despair, to the very depths of despair itself. And we worry over so much, and our minds and our hearts is just so overwhelmed. We feel like we're in a dungeon. We feel like we can't get out of it. We feel like we're just everywhere around us, we're just shrouded over with despair. That's not the way we need to be. We need to live under the power of Christ. Hallelujah. He protects our minds and our hearts. Hallelujah. My mind and my heart will be protected. In Isaiah 26 verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Who are you trusting in today? Amen. Is your mind at peace today? It will be. As a matter of fact, it'll be in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on the Lord. If your mind is kept on God where it needs to be, He will give you that peace. In Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law. Oh, I love the Lord. Don't you love the words of God? Don't you love His laws when you read them? There's nothing here that God does not want us to have. There's nothing here that God will hurt us with. His laws are precious. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Nothing shall offend them. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians, you can turn there with me if you like. Chapter 10, it's one of my favorite verses. Second Corinthians chapter 10. I really like reading this verse a lot, and I try to do this a lot. He says, verse 5, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are in a warfare. The devil is after our minds. The devil wants to control our minds. If he controls your mind, he's got you. He's got you. If you can't keep your mind on God and the things of God, believe me, the devil's going to fill your mind with his things. And before you'll know it, you'll be walking in his ways, walking after his manner. And you think, I thought I would never do this. And it's all because your thinking is wrong. We need to learn to cast down imaginations and those high things. These things, these exalted itself above the knowledge of God. Let me tell you, church, anything that it tries to exalt itself above God needs to be brought down. Any doctrine that tries to exalt itself above the truth of God's Word needs to be brought down. Everything. Bring it down to the captivity. I like that. Into the captivity. The thought unto the obedience of Christ. Yeah. Everything must come under the obedience of God Almighty. Yeah. And what does that? It's the power that God has. Amen. Not that we have, but His power to fortify us. His power to encourage us. His power to be placed within us that we can do these things. I'm a firm believer today we need the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We need the Spirit of the living God. We need the third person of the Trinity today to strengthen our life and to help us. Because we can do nothing in our own power. It takes God's power. We can't cast down these things unless the power of God helps us to cast these things down. It is God and God alone. Thirdly, this power can purify us. Hallelujah. God can purify His people. Verse 8 and 9. Go back with me now. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Things that are noble. Things that you need to meditate on. Amen. I tell you, this is the power that we need. This purifying power. Think on these things, He says. Think on these things. I have to say it again. Think on these things. We think so much on everything else. The devil will try to pour everything he can to take our minds away from God. To think upon the things of this world, the things that will give us no profit at all. Things that will pull you down, things that will try to deter you and try to pull you apart from the body of Christ. He'll put these things there, but we need to stay purified with God in that God's power can touch our lives. Think upon these things, and I'm telling you, that can be translated as easy as saying, chew the cud. Come on. You know what chew the cud is? Cows chew the cud. They get their food, you know. You ever watched a cow? I've watched them. They just sit there. Over and over. I mean, you can get days just watch, you know, because they got, well, how many stomachs a cow got? I forget. Too many. But they regurgitate up their food. And they chew it some more. And they chew it some more. You know, that's what we need to do with God's Word. We need to put it in our hearts. Think upon the things that are good, He says. Whatsoever things are true. You know, this verse here, I want you to know something. You talk about speaking of Christ. This puts it in. This, I mean, I relate this. When I read this verse, it's not just thinking about good things that people have done or this or that. It's thinking about God. Because why? God is true. God is honest. God is just. God is pure. God is lovely. God is of good report. God is all virtue. God is all praise. Think upon God.
That's right. Amen.
That's where we need to put our mind.
Oh, yeah.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Don't tell me how good this actor is or how good this football player is or what he's done and this and that. Think upon the good things of God.
Amen.
How good God has been.
Yes.
How trustworthy God is. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
How loving God is. Think upon that, what He's done in your life. Think upon His virtue, God's moral excellence when He lived on earth. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He never sinned. Think upon Him. That's what I want to think on. And that will give me the power that I need. Amen. It's not me, it's Him. Him living in me. Oh, praise God, church. Hear me now. Hear me now. Chew the cud. Amen. Chew the Word of God. Think upon the things of God over and over. Put the Word in your heart. Put it up in your mind. Feel your mind over and over and over. He said, but Brother Cottle, I've read this over and over again. Read it again. Oh, glory. You can't exhaust the Word of God. The more you read it, the blessed you'll be. Let me tell you, church, it's life. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This is it right here. Read it. You will be blessed. Hallelujah. This power purifies us, church. When we finally think upon the things we should think on. This world fills us enough with the things we shouldn't think on. It doesn't take you long. Turn on the television. Look at a magazine. Look in the I don't even use these things. What do you call them things? Computers. Thank you. Computers. Mine don't even work. Got too many viruses in the thing. That's the devil for you, ain't it? Yeah, he wants you to, all them pop-ups and things. I think my whole computer's messed up. I'm like, this thing don't even work. I get frustrated even trying to look at it. But we need to think upon God. God is good to us, church. We need to make sure we put in our mind what God wants there. And those things that are good that will benefit us for the kingdom of God. If there be any virtue, there be any praise, think upon these things. And you shall have the power that purifies us. And that is the power of God. Fourthly, this power can satisfy us. In verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein we were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Hallelujah. Therewith to be content. I do want to say that contentment is not complacency. Oh, Brother Carl, I'm content. I'm just not going to do anything anymore. I tell you, I've been so blessed by God. It just feels so good. I'm not going to do nothing. Isn't God wonderful? It doesn't mean to be complacent and to be at idle or at ease. You sit there with that kind of attitude, you sit there with that kind, it won't take long for the devil to destroy you. Contentment is not complacency. I think what it is containment. There's a word we haven't heard in a while, has it? Containment. What do I mean by that? I mean the Apostle Paul, his life, his body, he was satisfied with the blessed presence of Jesus Christ. Woo! He had the Lord living in him. Amen. That was his satisfaction. That was his contentment. Praise God. Therefore, it contained him. There's two kinds, and I really believe this, and I hope you don't think I'm comical when I bring this out to you. I didn't mean to be comical. I was thinking of this, and I really believe there's almost two kinds of Christians out here today. You may have heard this before, but one of them is the thermometer type believer. And the other one is the thermostat believer. You say, what in the world, brother? Well, we all know what a thermometer does, don't we? You set a thermometer outside, what's it going to do? It's going to take the temperature that's outside there, doesn't it? Whatever that temperature is, it's going to read the temperature outside. Well, it's 99 degrees outside. That thermometer is going to read that. And that's the way some Christians are. His satisfaction is totally dependent upon outside circumstances. If it's that's the way it is outside, and the trouble is outside everywhere, well, my thermometer just goes way up, you know. And I just live this way. I'm up and down. I'm up and down. However the situation is, however spiritually it is outside, whatever I come in contact with, I go up and down. Lord help us. That's not the way we're to live. Come on. That person is just simply registering the prevailing spiritual temperature that's around him outside. Whatever comes his way, you know. Whatever storm blows his way. Up and down. And that's the way he lives. That's why you see some people up and down all the time. But then there's the thermostat believer. This is the way we need to be. What does the thermostat do for us in the house? Sets it steady, doesn't it? We got our thermostat in our house. Boy, it's hot in here. We go over there, push it down to 72. All of a sudden, we wait a little while. It's nice and cool in here now. Feels good. It's not 99. It's 99 degrees outside, but guess where I'm at? I'm at 72 degrees inside. Amen. The thermostat believer, his satisfaction is totally independent of outside circumstances. Now hear me, church. He is not only unaffected by it, but actually controls that area surrounding him. And that's where we need the power of God, to control the area that's around me. He needs to be in me. He needs to live in me. He needs to move in me. He needs to do everything in me that I am contained in God. I don't have to be up and down because of spiritual circumstances of this world. I can live with God in perfect peace. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. The devil can be raging out there, but I can live in perfect harmony. I don't have to worry. Praise God. My temperature is set just right. I'm settled with God. I know in whom I have believed in, that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him. My thermostat is set with God. Hallelujah. And He's keeping me where I need to be.
Amen.
That's the type of people we need to be.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know. I just wanted to say that. Maybe that was sticking your minds, if nothing else does, through the message. You're either a thermometer or you're a thermostat. We need to be a thermostat. We need to be controlled by God, unaffected by what surrounds us outside. God's perfect peace has kept us safe. God's perfect peace has kept us from the enemy. Amen, church. God's perfect peace has kept us from the storms that rage around us. Hallelujah. Oh, as the psalmist said, David said, hallelujah. He said in Psalms 23, you remember Psalms 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what did he say? I'll fear no evil. That thermostat was set right. Amen. He didn't worry. He wasn't upset. He knew that the struggle was hard before him. He saw it, but praise God, he has someone who's living in him. Hallelujah. He has someone who his hope is steadfast and sure. He stands upon the rock of his salvation, the cornerstone of his faith. And praise God, he was set to go on. Amen, church. Glory to God. Woo! So what are you today? I pray everyone in here is a thermostat. Amen. Set just right with God. Fourthly, Christ is the power that can supply us. In verse 13 of chapter 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things, not some, all things through Christ. Not through an organization, not through any teacher, but through Christ and Him alone. I can do all things through Christ. He can supply all the power I need to live in this world. Hallelujah. The apostle makes a many little tiny prepositions that he uses, which are very important. as you read the word and through the epistles which he writes in Philippians and other places, he uses many prepositions. And I wrote down some of these prepositions that he uses. And I think they're good for us to summarize up what I'm trying to say today. He says, to be in Christ. I like that. Be in Christ. To work through Christ. To live for Christ. To surrender to Christ. To be with Christ. All these little short prepositions. So meaningful to us. Because when he says to be in Christ, it means salvation. If I am in Christ, I'm saved. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. To work through Christ means my sanctification. I'm working through Him. Glory to God. To live for Christ means dedication. We need more dedication, don't we? In this world we live in, we need those who live for Christ. Hallelujah. To surrender to Christ means a consecration. I've surrendered to Him. I'm consecrated to Him. He is mine and I am His. Hallelujah. To be with Christ means glorification. To be with Him. Paul says, for me to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. If I am with Him, then I am glorified. Yes. Little prepositions that mean so much for us. He ends this chapter with verse 19 following. But there in verse 19 he says, but my God shall supply all your needs yes. according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God shall supply all, not some, all your needs. All right. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I hope I put some truths out to you this morning that may help us. Christ's life, we have to live it. He is our purpose. He is our pattern to follow. He is our prize and our goal to reach. And He is our power that sustains us in this life. We cannot live without Him. He is the one who will unify us. He is the one who will fortify us. He is the one who will purify us. He is the one who will satisfy us. And He is the one who will supply us all things that we have need of. There is no other. You can't get that from anyone else. We need it from God. And I'm so moved by the Apostle Paul when he writes in this epistle to the Philippian church here. This was his first church that he established in Macedonia. And these believers, these Christians, these people loved him and they supported him and he knew them. He had great affection for these people in the Philippian church. And I'm just so overwhelmed that Paul comes to them. And he delivers to them these wonderful things and wonderful teachings to them that they are able to grow stronger and grow in power and grow in the life that Christ wants them to live. Church, I'm asking us this morning to just bow our heads, if you would. If you're burdened this morning, we were told in Psalms to cast your burden upon the Lord. For He will sustain you. We're told in Peter to cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. If you have a need this day, if you have a need to be unified today with a brother, sister, a neighbor, then I challenge you today to go and make unity. Go and make peace. Go and restore the fellowship that there may be unity between you, your brother, you, your neighbor, you, your co-worker. I pray this morning that if you need fortification, then trust God. Quit worrying about everything. Take care of the things that you can And the things you can't, give it to God. He will fortify you. He will give you the power to do it. God will purify you. Think upon those things, church, that are good. Think upon God. Think upon His loveliness. Think upon His truth, His honesty. Let it always be ever before your mind and your thoughts how good and loving God is and how praiseworthy He is to think upon. And God will purify you. God will give you what you have need of. God is going to satisfy your hearts. He's also going to supply you with everything you have need of. Trust in Him today. Lean not upon your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. In church, He will direct your paths. He will open up the doors. He will make the way. He will sustain you. He will be your rock. He will be your fortress today. Our Heavenly Father, our heads are bowed before You this morning. And I'm praying, God, this day that You would just take us. Help us, Lord, to understand You more and more. Help us, Lord, to be strengthened through Your Word this morning, dear God. For You have given it to us. I believe, God, You've given it to us that we can be strengthened by it. And I pray, God, that You would open up Your mighty works in our midst, dear God, that You would take us, and Lord, that You would show Yourself mighty to us in every area of our life. The areas we need more of You, then show us, God. The areas that we are lacking in different areas, God, let them become known to us that we can come to You and cast our cares upon You, for You love us. And You want us to excel. You want us to go on. You want us to flourish, O God. You want us to reap. You want us, O Lord, to bring back the fold. You want us, God, to be 100-fold if possible. And I pray, God, that You would use us this day. Speak to these hearts this morning, dear Lord. Speak to the hearts. And Lord, let them walk in Your ways and in Your manner. Let them speak often of You, God. Let them not be dismayed as when the trials of life come their way. Because You are our power. You are our might. You are our strength today, God. You will take care of us. And Lord, I pray, set the thermometer of their hearts that it needs to be set. That there will be no anxieties or fear of circumstances, but that, God, You are in complete control and we are at perfect peace because our minds are stayed upon You. We have no worry, God, because we've contained. We know in whom we believed in. We're not going to be stripped. We're not going to be torn away. We're not going to be torn apart. But we are going to be contained because You live in us. Hallelujah. Oh God, You live in us. And Lord, therefore we have the joy and the power to live out this Christian life with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thank You today, God. I pray that You be with Your church. And go with them this afternoon as we go and break bread together, Lord. Let our conversation be of You and of Your goodness. And Lord, I pray as we return this afternoon that Your grace and mercy and goodness would show one more time how wonderful You are to us. Bring us back together this afternoon, God, that we may have fellowship in You. Hallelujah. And we'll thank You in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Shake hands with one another. God bless you, church.